What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Yo, what up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 degrees. Your Miami Hurricanes football podcast, bro. Good to be back with the game. You know, I told you we had a commitment and things are still shuffling around. And after every time we think we got it nailed down, there's something else that kind of jumps in there and throws our game off a little bit. But like I said, we committed to the call, so we back. This is a perfect time to just flame this whole podcast up, man, and just act like it never happened. Considering how the season's been going, but we here, so yet and still we soldier on. We don't have one of my usual suspects today. Meezy is at the JOB doing his thing, but do have with me the field general, the homie X. What up, X?
Yo, what's going on, man? Glad to be back home, man. I kind of missed a couple weeks. Whole lot of things going on. I ain't gonna lie, man. My birthday month, man, I was just all over the place, man. So
getting treated like a baddie.
Yeah. Telling me you better catch me while you can, man. I was all over the place, man. And you know, just dealing with some family issues with the kids. You know, they lost their grandpa, their grandfather on their mother's side. So
yeah,
so everything good, man. Just glad to be back. You know, granted the season ain't going how we wanted to go, man, but I'm still in good spirit. I was gonna say excited, but I'm gonna say I'm in good spirit. I'm in good spirit. Oh, I'm not excited, but I'm just in good spirit.
Yeah, man. You listen. You can't let these this football stuff steal your joy. You know what I mean?
At all.
I learned a long time ago. I can get as high or low as I'm going to get behind a football game for roughly an hour to two. That's as much as I could give it. Like, because none of it in the big scheme of things really don't mean nothing. You know what I mean? It's a source of entertainment. And, you know, it's something we have a certain passion for, obviously. But I'm like, okay, cool. Miami wins the national championship. All right, you got work Monday. You know what I mean? So, like, at the end of the day, it's cool. It's fun. It's something to, you know, kick shit with your friends about and enjoy it from that aspect. But I've been learning, man, years ago, you can only put in so much energy that you can get reciprocated. So it's funny when, you know, like, fans of other shows or, you know, like, they hear me on other stuff, they really don't believe me. They think I'd be lying when I'd be like, I don't care. And I'm like, but I don't. I enjoy the team. I love to watch this team. But this team don't love me back, man. You know what I mean? It's not. It also, I don't get too up or down because it's football at the end of the day. I don't call no plays. I don't line up in the trenches at all. At the end of the day, I got real problems, bro. So if at the end of this, you know, my team lets me down, it's like, okay, cool. Got other stuff going on, dog. You know what I mean? Like you said, life's happening. We have deaths in the family. We have births in the family. We have things to celebrate. You know what I mean? We got things to mourn and heal from. And, you know, so that's honestly, and that's not making no excuses for this team. You don't get me wrong. Shit sucks. But Larry ain't crying on no pillow at night, dog. And I don't take my shit off. Like, we go get dunked. He'd be like, hey, you still got that on? Oh, yeah, it's still team. Still gang. I mean.
You already know.
Yeah. I mean, they lost. I ain't lose.
Facts.
If you keep on, you might lose, too. You know what I'm saying?
I've been telling people, like, man, y'all put too much emphasis and passion into, you know. I mean, yeah, we love our team. You know what I'm saying? Nobody want to lose. You lose. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the one thing we can't control because guess what? We're not coaching. We're not playing. So it's not like you can go out there and say, well, let me go out there and do it. You ain't doing it. Those guys out there do it, they lose. You know, hey, man, live it. you live the fight another day, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
That's so, it.
Look, we lost.
I feel you, man.
We got blew out. After I left the tailgate, man, I walked into the seats like 20, 30 minutes. And, you know, every time they got the drink ready for me. And she smiled. I'm like, what you smiling at? She like, because your team lost. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm going to leave. I'm not even finna stay here and give you no tips on how I'm at. You're not finna try me to my face. But it was all good, man. Hey. It is what it is, man.
For sure, man. Well, man. Go ahead, Maul. Go ahead. Maul here with us too, guys. I forgot.
No,
I forgot the intro on.
Yeah. Are you good? For me, when you talk about never being too high or low, a lot of y'all don't know, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. So I was a Houston Oilers fan. When you were 11 years old in 1993 and your team blows a 35-3 halftime lead, like our right. second half lead, you never get too high or too low. So for me, yep. I just roll with it. The only joy I got was my wife was laughing at me because it was her and my older daughter's birthday this weekend. So I was at the hotel watching the game, and she graduated from Clemson. So she was like, "Oh man," she said, "you ain't gonna be mad and ruin the night, is you?" I was like, "Nah, I ain't worried about this. I kind of told you I checked out from Middle Tennessee. Like I already knew what was expected." And then 5 minutes later, I changed the channel to NBC, and them boys were down 14-0, and she was hot. So it was like, that was my joy. Like we
told you, man.
Notre Dame, so
man, listen, they them boys got handled, but God don't like ugly, so don't come in here bothering me. You know what I mean? Because I always come in peace. You know what I mean? You know, my voice is still a little bit off. Thank God we did get to do another recording because the reason and we catching up a little bit because they ain't been on in a while. So I was actually at the game as well. Wanted to try to link with X, but I forgot how big them damn parking lots is, bro. I was like, well, I'm not walking way over there.
Yeah. When you said it, I was like, I say, man, you on the opposite side, man.
Yeah, I looked at the map.
Way so on the opposite side, yeah. So I was like, yeah, Nah,
we have to hang out another time, brother. I am not walking with
you. What I was going to do is I was going to hit you once I got inside the stadium to see exactly where y'all was because I was going to I don't know if you was where you were sitting, but I could have brought you into, like, the suites that we have.
Man.
But once I got in there, man, you know, it's just so much, man. People, hey, ask me take a picture, and, you know, it just be so much going on. I'm trying to hurry up and catch the first kickoff, but people just keep stopping me. I'm leaving from the field to go up to the press box, and then they just grab me. Like, that's cool. But yeah, man,
that's funny you said suites too, because we were supposed to have suites, and this one dude, you know, he shall remain nameless. He stayed re-nigging, man. Like he always, oh, I got this, I got that. Y'all boys straight, yada yada. All right, cool, bro. Appreciate it, bro. Hey, man, about them tickets. About them tickets. Come on, cuz, you wait till now to tell us. Like, and you know, I probably could have got on StubHub and all, but I was like, forget it, bro. I'ma just we actually had a big ass projector screen out there. My man came through. He's actually a Florida State fan. And so we was watching the whole game on the TV anyways, had all the liquor right there, wings, meatballs. And I was like, I'm good. I'll just chill right here now. Since somebody reneged once again, I was like, hey man. Don't even talk to me no more, bro. I'm sick of you pulling up at the last second like, oh, no. Nah, yeah, it's a problem. It's always a problem with you, dog. But it's cool. But, that layout of Miami is, you know, it's just so different than most other places. So, like, hell, if I live close, man, I just tailgate at the crib and then pull up for the game, dog. I'll be like, hey. I'm just eat at the house. We'll sit back in, and when the game kick off, we'll pull up.
That's what I tell people. I say, man, you know, if you're not actually parking inside where the stadium is at, man, it's kind of hard. You know what I'm saying? Because it's traffic, and then you walking. You know, you out there for 2-3 hours, you been in the drunk. You ain't trying to walk while you drunk to no stadium. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I tell people all the time, I say, man, Uber there. You don't gotta. Cause them parking passes would be expensive, man. Just Uber it up. Uber back on.
That's what I was gonna do. Me and CJ was riding though, so we had like like four spots out there, something like that, eight spots, I think, actually. But anyways, that's here and there. Let's get into the meat of things, I guess. We can start off, I guess, kind of the most controversial thing that came from that game would be TBE playing. It's hard for me to form an opinion on it because, all right, I don't know exactly what's wrong with him, you know, because Mario's real good about keeping that stuff close to the vest. But I imagine, you know, they gave him the best rehab possible. And I imagine he fought to get out there. I don't think this was a situation at all where there was any pressure from the coaching staff. You know, that's just my take on it. And then on the flip side of that a little bit, I'm like, well, sometimes you got to protect these guys from themselves. You know a little better than them. But obviously what happened was he went out there, he gave it a go. You know, he tried his best. He wanted to be Florida State because he's probably out of here regardless. You know, if he just decides to rehab on up and go to the draft, I think that would be a pretty wise decision. Only, you know, I kind of discussed this before. If he's not going to transfer to a Tennessee, a Georgia, a Bama, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me for him to go to like a SMU. I think not much more could be proven there. I think it'd be best for him to just go to the draft. But what you take X basically on that playing situation?
Okay, so all week, last week, you know, I've been talking to my peoples, and they like, yeah, TVD's out there, he's practicing. He looking normal. And, I was like, okay, well, you know, he gives us the best opportunity to win, you know, regardless of if he, even if he's not fully healthy, he still gives us the best opportunity to win. On that particular play, when he threw the ball and I seen how his arm released the ball, I said, yeah, he hurt his arm again. Because he wasn't hurt before that. And the thing is, he could have played last week. But it was just the way he threw the ball on that particular play. And I said, yeah, he hurt his arm again. And then, oh yeah, he wants to fight and get back in there. Obviously, you as a head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, have to say, hey, yeah, that just ain't look right. We gonna have to, you know, go with somebody else and make sure you okay. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not okay, we don't want you to get hurt any worse. You know what I'm saying? So, just a situation where both parties should have said, yeah, let me step back and make sure I'm good, or make sure you good to go. But previous to that, he was fine. He was throwing the ball perfect. I'm in practice all week. And they just felt great. The training staff felt like, oh, he could go. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, it didn't look good on that particular play. And I was like, yeah, that's it. You just got to get him out of
here. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some people are trying to push a narrative of how could they do that to the kid. And I'm like, I don't think that was the case at all, bro. Like, one thing that we do know about Tyler, whether you think at times he can get a little pouty and a little disgruntled, he's a competitor. And I think that's part of why he gets a little pouty and stuff. It's like, you know, like I say, people praise Tom Brady when he break a laptop every 2 weeks, you know, because he, you know, not a laptop, y'all know what I'm talking about, but an iPad, like every 2 weeks he's breaking them because something he saw on the film, on the quick review. And as regarded his passion, and then you get another player, and they'll say, you know, he goes crazy and does an elaborate end zone dance. Oh, that's not good sportsmanship. And, you know, we know what that falls behind a lot of time, but I ain't going to get too racy. But nonetheless, I think it was Tyler's passion that put him out there to play. He probably just, it looks like, re-aggravated it. It may need to sit up and heal a little bit longer. I don't think he did anything to worsen it. And I think that's why they gave him the opportunity to go, too. It's like, look, you shouldn't have a chance to make it worse. You know, but you might re-aggravate it. So that looks like what happened.
It's basically like he has a shoulder strain. You know what I'm saying? So you can play through those. You can play through those. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, it's not like it's going to get worse. You can play through those. It's on how your muscle and your shoulder performs when you're throwing the ball. Baseball players get it. Quarterbacks get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like even if he sits out, it's just how the muscle gonna perform. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of just sitting out and getting rehab and stuff like that, this it's just something that can happen. It happens all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks just play through it. You know, each body is different. You know.
Yeah. He hadn't been a particularly injured guy, so that's another reason I didn't have an issue with him going. I'm like, it's not like he has a history of accumulating, these injuries. Just happened to take one.
Yeah.
And you can't get mad at the staff, give him a chance. It's not like, and say they're damaging him. It's not like they gave him a shot and he couldn't feel nothing and he injured it worse after the game, but we needed you today. Right. Like they gave him a chance, and it seemed like when he threw that pass to Restrepo, that if he was healthy, I think that might have been a touchdown. When he kind of just threw it off his leg, and Restrepo kind of had a step. And when that ball sailed, I was like, oh, that's not TBD. And then from there, it was the dynamic we had at quarterback.
Right. Well, that's a good segue.
Obviously, you see when the other two guys got in there, you would have seen why he wanted to play, because he knows, I'm the best option. I'm the best option for this team. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's not saying nothing against those two guys, but it's saying I'm the best option. I got to get out there and do what I got to do. So.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling that FSU loss last year, so he wanted to get one. I think he's gone personally, like I said a little earlier. I do think he's draft bound. No, I don't necessarily think he's transfer bound. I go heal up.
I'd agree.
And just start working out and get ready for the draft. His stock is probably already taking a decent hit. And the only way it's going to climb back up, like I said, he'd have to go to a program like Tennessee that'll still be in good shape. Georgia that might have a quarterback situation he could fit in. Because all they got is like Carson Beck, I think, who's okay. If you go into one of those, Bama, I don't know who comes after Bryce Young, that kind of deal, then I get it. It's like, okay, well, this is a chance to play with some elite guys in a established program. Then sure, do that. I would absolutely recommend that. If any of those, top tier programs are hollering at them, I say, hell yeah, go ahead and go give them one last year. So speaking on that, either way, we're all in agreement that he's not coming back. So we did get a look at the future. And I don't want to say the future's bleak. It's questionable. Garcia got out there and immediately gave the ball back to Florida State on just a bad throw. I don't know if somehow there was a miscommunication on the route, but I'm like, man, that was just a bad throw. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, I'm just like, bro, he's just a bad ball.
So when Josh Gaddis got here, everybody was kind of worried about TBD. The quarterback room was saying, okay, well, we're not. We just left from last year's offense. We're going to Josh Gaddis' offense. Jake Garcia is a gunslinger. You know what I'm saying? You put him out there, and he got receivers running all over the field. That's his play. He's going to do that. But obviously, in his offense, it's not him. He still has a lot to learn. And I kept telling people, like, man, the guy is not ready to get in. And everybody like, man, Jake, put in Jake. I'm like, man, he's not ready. Trust me. I've been saying this since he was there last year. Like, no, he wasn't ready. And now everybody's seeing. Everybody kind of turning their back on Jake. I'm not turning my back on Jake. I'm just saying he wasn't ready. It takes time. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't played a full season of high school football. He hasn't played a full season of college football. So y'all want a guy who hasn't played a full season to just get out there and expect him to be what?
Right. He hasn't had the opportunity to build. That's one thing people got to remember, too, is you're not getting those first team reps. On a consistent basis, you don't build the rhythm. You don't know your guy's breaks, like where he likes to oh, that when I see that little twitch right there, I know that's when he's gonna try to break off the route, and now this is when I want to deliver the football. Those type of things are built with repetition and consistency, and I'm sure they did some of that, you know, coming off of the Virginia game because they knew he was a starter then. But you don't just automatically build all of that up and be ready to rock in 2 weeks. Like, come on, we weren't able to get a touchdown the week before, so to think that he was a plug and play kind of guy just didn't make a lot of sense.
I agree with that, man. It's just quarterbacks need to develop. Everybody thinks like high school to college is an easy thing, and like just because a kid's a 4-star or better, like they're automatically ready to start day one. Like some people need to develop, and it's a big deal when they can learn a system and trust the receivers, kind of like you were saying. So it's like fans. I mean, we can talk about fans later, but it's just you have to just be realistic with your expectations and just understand what it is. They're not robots. This ain't NCAA on your PlayStation where you
right, get a guy right. And
plug them in. But I feel like that's what people feel. College football is literally the old video game they had in 2014, and that's right. How they look at it.
Yeah, yeah. And even when I played the game, I redshirted all my quarterbacks. No quarter.
That's what I'm
no
trying to tell you.
No QB plays first year in my system, Jack.
Yeah, just look at
never die.
Bama, when Bama was playing, who Bama was playing? They was playing, and then Bryce Young got hurt. Oh, they put in the back of quarterback.
Texas A&M. Texas. Or Mississippi State, one of the two.
I think it was Mississippi State.
I know I know Bryce didn't play against Texas A&M. Okay.
Whichever team it was.
Yeah, so it was one of
Bryce, one of them maroon teams.
Yeah, Bryce ended up getting
hurt.
They put in the back of quarterback, and then he couldn't throw the ball, but they just suggested and let him run. So it was like, yeah. You can't just plug it. It ain't no plug in and play stuff like that. Not at quarterback.
Nah. It's a fantasy world in which that works. So with that said, we did get to see Jake got snatched early, right? The coaches was like, come on, bro. Like, nah, come on, son. We can't do that in the shadow of our own end zone, which, you know, hate to say it, but shout out to FSU. They kept us pent back there the whole damn game, bro. Like, the first half, man, we were starting at the 6-yard line, like every damn play. Bro, no, let me not go off on a tangent, but let me say this real quick. I knew the shit was over when Lou Hedley shanked the punt. I said, oh, yeah. Ain't no damn way. Lou Hedley, ain't never shanked a punt for us, man. Lou Hedley shanked a punt, dog. I said, oh, yeah, pack it up. Y'all grab the babies, man. We up out of here, man. This game is over. But yeah, so they decided to pull him, and we got a heavy dose of Jakari, who once again, man, you got to love his running ability. He's going to be if he could develop it to a solid passer, he's probably going to be the most potent quarterback we've ever had. You know how we enjoyed the dual threat ability of De'Eriq King. This guy will be De'Eriq King to me on steroids if we can get his passing game developed enough. And I think, you know, you didn't get to see a lot of that last week. I think part of that was protection, you know, big game. This is a rivalry game. At first it was full. Miami fans did start pouring out, just like the Gators did in Jacksonville. Yeah, because I heard y'all little weak-ass jokes. Y'all left too, dog. When George was curve stomping, exit, stage right. See you later. We ain't got time for this shit. You know, same thing. Same energy from us, bro. It's like, hey, I'm going to get up out of here, man.
Yeah. When Jakari came in, man, again, watching him at practice, I say, yeah, he does struggle throwing the ball a little bit, but that's just because he just was never that quarterback to just stand in the pocket, throw the ball. Obviously, he had to get developed, work on it. He has gotten better, and as of now, you know, if we're talking about the future, I mean, I'm gonna just be honest. If Josh Gattis still the offensive coordinator for next year, I think, you know, Jakari is our best bet. and I'm just keeping it 100. Like I say, Jake could be the best bet, but just for me, Josh Gattison, the offensive coordinator, I go with Jake. I mean, I go with Jakari Brown.
Yeah. Like I say, kids show some. One thing you got to like about him ultimately is he's a competitor. You know, he does have a good understanding of where he lacks, you know, and where he needs to get stronger at. That's something we've been hearing pretty much since the beginning of his, you know, commitment to us was that, yeah, he knows he's got flaws in his game, but number one, that's what you need. Number one, A1, you know that you got flaws, and B, you're committed to working on them. So, you know, that's something that could be promising for the future. He didn't have, you know, we ain't gonna sugarcoat it. He didn't have a great game, but again, he never really had opportunity to try to get anything rolling because whole time, bro, shadow of the end zone, and it's just like that limits your play calling right there because you don't want to turn the ball over like we had just previously done with Jake Garcia. So, you know, we'll look to see how that turns out next year. I think you could have a true quarterback competition next season.
I think you got it right now.
Yeah.
I think you got it going on for the next three games. I say this, you know, very lightly. The next three games and possibly a fourth. You know, you got a quarterback battle going on to see what you got next year. You know what I'm saying? So, that game, it was ugly all over. You know what I'm saying? Nobody showed that. Yeah, you know, some players came out there, did their thing, played all right. But as a whole, man, it just was ugly. So, like, nothing anybody did in that game stood out to me at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just to add on the quarterbacks, one thing I can say about Curry is I just liked his competition. Like, he competed. Forget stats. Just after a play, like, I see a Florida State dude yapping. He's yapping back. Like, those type of things. Like, my biggest complaint this year, who are the leaders? I see a leader in him. I see a guy who got that dog in him and can be a leader. And he's one of them guys that he might be a three-year project, that he might not get it fully till a junior or senior year. But it's a possibility another quarterback can come in here and start for a couple years and Jakari will pick it up later. So I enjoy his potential, and I like that fight he had. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. And that's something, right, you can't take that away from him. And it's something you build upon. So I think there's something there that you can look forward to in the future. I do think I think he'll probably end up being the guy. I think, like X does, we'll get into that and, you know, figure it out next year. Really, like I said, at the end of the season, it'll be interesting. I don't even know who's probably going to start against Georgia Tech. Quarterback stuff be damned. We'll kind of see how that ends up shaking out in the future. I guess let's kind of recap the whole game in general. That was kind of the biggest thing, the elephant in the room. So I wanted to get that out of the way. But I guess what's the best way to look at this thing? Cause, I mean, it was a total shellacking, right? Like,
yeah, it was nothing positive in that game.
Nothing. I cannot give you anything I liked about it. Man. All right, so let's look at it. All right, because we'll just be at a standstill. So let's look at it. Let's go through the offense. All right, quarterback play.
Quarterback play was bad.
Bad. All right. We got to give quarterback play a D-.
Yeah, that was bad. It was bad. Running back play wasn't good. Offensive line play wasn't good. Tight end, wide receiver, just the offense total was bad.
The tight end and wide receiver never had a chance.
At all.
Because we could not get any type of time to get any passes off, man. And we were, you know, in restricted field to start everything off. So they selling out against the run, you know, knowing, hell, what's the chance of them really putting it up in the air, especially with TVD gone, right? So especially once he goes down, now it's like, now it's like, well, shit, man, ain't no way to get out of here. So we got to run it. They sell out on the run. We give them great field position again because we are in poor field position. And then they just got to pull a few things together once they get the ball. So I guess, like you said, I mean, just nothing on offense had a chance to get going. And that had everything to do with A, horrible field position, and B, mediocre to poor offensive line play. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. This is something I'm tired of beating this dead horse to you know, a pulp. I don't care what offense you run, you got to have an O-line. That's it. It doesn't matter. Or you're going to face problems, period. So there it is. I don't know what else to tell you about the offense. Nothing could get going. Everything that could have went wrong for us went wrong based on personnel, field position, and Lil Brun and them efforts. I give them their credit. What credit is due. Lil Brun and them did what they were supposed to do in that, you know, given they had a good situation, they took advantage of it. Turned the ball over a couple of times on offense. The one that really just infuriated me is how did you rip off a couple of runs with Jakari and then put Jake back in? And you put Jake back in, and, you know, this is already an issue, right? Because anytime a center is working with a different quarterback, it's always a little bit different exchange, right? So with TDD and Jakari, you know, they're a little taller. TDD is like, you know, legit 6'4". I think Jakari is like 6'2", 6'3-ish. And then, you know, you got Jake.
Oh, Jakari is taller than that. Jakari is taller than TDD.
Oh, okay. So they all around the same height. But, you know, little hand placement, all that stuff is always a little bit different. And I'm like, well, we got a little something going here. He switched quarterback. And then the damn quarterback fumbles the ball and gives the ball up again. And then we don't see him again. So, you know, that was the only thing where I was just like, bro, what are you doing as a coaching staff?
Yeah, it was an Army coach. Yeah, Army.
Yeah, like, why would you do that? It made no
sense. Like a run play. If you go to the quarterback for a play, hand it off.
I guess.
It's Harvey.
Can't even get the ball snap right, man. Like
the offense was badly coached that game. You just say what it is, badly coached. The defense, same. But I get their vision. You know, I fully understand their vision, man. And it's just this year it wasn't gonna happen. Not with certain players. Who just so comfortable with doing things not the right way. So,
yeah. Flip side, you go to defense. Man, it was a flashback to the horrors of the Manny era, right? Where this season we had done a hell of a lot better at just tackling in general. Not that it was perfect. By far, it was not perfect. There's still a few guys out there that I feel like need to sharpen up on their technique when the bullets are actually flying and doing what they're supposed to be doing. I know what they're getting coached to do. I know coach is telling you to just lower your shoulder and hope you hit them in the middle of the chest, especially going against a run-heavy team like Florida State and a guy like Trey Benson, who obviously Mario has some familiarity with. He recruited him. And so he, you know, the guy was beat up his whole career and decided to go to Florida State when it was all said and done. And he went out there, man, he broke tackle after tackle. You know, credit where credit's due, but the defense was also, you know, put in poor positions as well. They weren't getting any rest. They were constantly right back on the field and constantly in advantageous territory for Florida State. You know, I knew we probably wouldn't get no, you know, sacks were going to be hard to come by, right? Because, not just because Jordan Travis is elusive, but because they just run the ball so well. So, and they were having
Goudier,
success.
Goudier had 2 sacks, though, I think.
Did he end up? I knew he wasn't going to rack him up, put it that way. Yeah, I do think he got, he did get Rodemaker. I remember him rolling up. Matter of fact, I think it was Rodemaker both times. So, well, and that's what I'm saying. I knew we weren't going to pile them up. I knew we may get a few, but that's because they put in Rodemaker, dog. Who can move a little bit now? Don't get me wrong. Rodemaker could move a little bit. I've seen him when they was playing the Louisville game. And I was like, all right, you know, this kid can actually got some decent wheels on him. But, you know, I think they did a great job neutralizing Leonard Taylor, which is smart. I mean, if I'm them, that's what I'm going to try to do too. He's been playing better and better and better. So, yeah, let's see what we can do to, you know, put a pause on this kid disrupting in the middle of the line, especially. I don't even know, and you kind of kick in to me your opinion. I don't know how bad the defense played in general.
Well, they played pretty bad because they ran the same running play.
Yeah, you're right.
So they played pretty bad. Like,
they just couldn't tackle. It felt like North Carolina all over again. You're right, man.
Yeah, they're basically the same thing North Carolina ran. Like,
counter this way, counter that way. Yeah. All right, just tackle it, bro. And they kept getting washed out of plays. Get a chance, bouncing off tackles, man. It looked crazy out there, bro.
Luckily, they didn't run for 400, 500 yards on us, you know. Yeah. It was all around bad, man. Yeah, the same play. Travis Jordan hit us with some big plays. Miscommunication in the secondary continues to be the downfall of the defense because big plays has cost us this whole season.
Facts.
Miscommunication, you know. So they got to get it together. The coaching staff and the players, man. Somebody got to say, man, we got some type of fight in them.
Hey, really quick, on that first touchdown, was that on the corner? Was that on Ivy, or was that on Blake? Thank you. I was going to say, because I figured he thought he had safety help.
Yeah, it was on Blaze, because Blaze supposed to have over-top help. And Ivy's job is to lead the receiver to Blaze. And, you know, Blaze just was out of position.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to give Ivy his flowers, too, on that crazy interception. Like I said, I've been telling people, like, I think at first, self-included, we've been too hard on Ivy as a fan base. Ivy's going to the league. And he may end around shockers of people hanging around a little longer than they may think. I'm not saying he's a first rounder. I think he can get somewhere in between that fourth and seventh round just based off his physical tools. He, you know, like you said, that, oh, everybody's going to point to Ivy. But the minute I saw that, I was like, he had to think he had a safety there. There's no way. There's no way he didn't think he had safety help over the top. And, you know, to the average fan, you go, oh, he got burned again. It's like, well, did he? Or did someone else not do their job? And that's what I felt. And I think that's not always happening all the time. He's not going to be a man guy. But I think, you know, in some zone coverages type teams, I think he'll thrive in those.
Man, he mess around in Seattle, give him a call. A team like that, a team that know how to use big corners.
Right.
They'll coach him up.
You may be surprised. Just like Michael Jackson finally is, you know, settling in Seattle. He's a guy that I absolutely anticipated having a bit more of a home. But he's doing well this year with Seattle. Unfortunately, you know, that's the ops. For me, as a Niners fan, I hate it. It was like DJs over there. Freaking Greg Olsen was even there one year. I'm like, man, Travis, why you got McCain? Yeah.
It hurt. Home,
yeah. 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 Over there, dog. It's bothersome. But, yeah, I think you summed it up perfectly. X, that's probably the worst defensive performance maybe since North Carolina. Michigan State was up there. Where it was just like, you know, looked like Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl, bro. Trey Benson was just bouncing players off of him, man. And part of that is just like, you know, you gotta have some dignity and say, bro, I'm a grown man too. This grown man ain't gonna just keep running through and over me, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, eventually you gotta man up and say, I'm gonna do something different to stop this from happening. But let's get that game's behind us now, you know. It's gonna go out there because we keep doing the worst, right? So I'm no longer saying any loss is the worst loss. You know, you got the Florida State fans. Yeah, well, at least we scored a touchdown because it's the same margin of victory. Listen, brother, if y'all had beat us 52-10, I wouldn't have felt no better. Like, I don't care if we scored a touchdown. We got
and 45-10, I wouldn't be saying my loss is better.
Yeah. Your is better. Yeah, like, nah.
Them two on, fan bases, dog. They love measuring losses, dog. I just don't get it.
That's a never played sports mentality. Oh, at least we scored a touchdown. What?
You got destroyed.
Yeah, you got beat, but
man, look at this. So, here we are now, right? Like, season's wrapping up. We got 3 games left. Obviously, none of us thought it was going to be this bad. I came out. I said the floor was 8-4. But I think, kind of like Marl said, reality check came for me. It was at Middle Tennessee State. And I immediately adjust my projection to 6-6. Hell, at this point, I'm going to have to go maybe 5-7. If I'm just being honest with you,
we don't win Saturday. It's gonna be 4-8.
Yeah. I can tell you that now. Yeah, we'll be Georgia Tech. Yeah, you go ahead and wrap this season up. Go ahead and kiss the baby. Swaddle it on up, and we'll see y'all next year. What do you think about the general state of the program under Mario?
I'll jump in on this one first. To me, the best way I can describe it is like you work in a warehouse where you have managers and you have employees, right? And there's I've been in two type of work environments in my past. One where you had some dedicated, good employees, just our managers suck, right? So our managers were just didn't do their job as managers. And if a new manager came in, we would all buy in and we'd be great. I've also been in other environments where the culture was so bad in the office that you could have brought in the best manager in the world and people was kind of stuck on their ways. So the way I look at this program is like, I feel like we have a lot of players, not even players, just a culture that's been stuck on its way. And we have a guy like Mario who's like, hey, I'm gonna fix this. Like, if I gotta go 4-8 this year, to fix it, I'm going to fix it. And I'll take a 4-8 over a quick rinse, a cute little 8-4, 9-3, but next year is the problems exist. Look at Michigan State, right? Michigan State last year paid your boy all that money, and now they fight to be 6-6. So, so for me, it's like I'll take the quicker fix and I'll take the just the lumps with it. And I just think we just got a lot of guys who it was a culture shock going from Manny to Mar. I'm going to call it Manny. The way Manny left it, the cupboard, just how the development was lacking, how the synergy of the recruiting. We don't got to go down that path, but that's how I look at the future. The future will be fine, but it's just we needed a hard reset. This wasn't a simple rinse and just a light paint job. We needed to really gut this program, and that's just what it is.
The future of the program. I mean, to be truthful, I don't want people to think I'm a homer. The future of the program is great. First year, not the year that we expected. I fully believe in Coach Mario's vision for the program. Just talking to recruits, that's what make me believe things are going to be great, because it's not so much the current players, it's the recruits and the future recruits that's saying, man, I can't wait to get to Miami, man, because I just fully believe in what Coach Mario is saying. Talking to a lot of recruits on Saturday, man, they They ready. The ones who especially the current uncommitted players, they ready. And then it's we took a beating Saturday, and we kind of actually may have still won the recruiting battle that weekend. I ain't gonna say maybe right. we did right. You know, so you know, Mario trying to get players in that, man, who really fits what he wants to do, you know what I'm saying? And there's still right. some players on the team who don't. And the only way to solve that is you got to part ways with those who just don't want to fit what you got going on. And that's any aspect of life.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel great about the future of the program.
Because guys that, let's be clear, I'm with you. I feel good. I feel good. I think the Middle Tennessee State game was like the reality check that I needed personally to be like, oh, yeah, man, I forgot. I know this team. That's why, even though some people thought I was, you know, bullshit, I went to sleep because I was already up early that day. And I think I went, did I go to brunch that day? Yeah, I did. So I already had a few drinks in me and everything. And I was like, bro, this game got to hear me. Come on. Cause I'm a sleepy drunk, so I'm sitting around like, all right, come on, man, let's get this game going. Then it starts rolling, and I'm like, oh, this is the same old same, bro. All right, I'm going to sleep. I'm tired. Like, I'll just wake up, and that's what happened. I woke up and I saw it, and I said, the cancer remains, right? We're far from on the other side of this thing, because systems are systems, and I agree there are some that fit certain players better. But at the end of the day, players must play. Players must play with a sense of pride and a sense of dedication and discipline. So, that being the case, I saw these same guys go out there and look exactly like the team I saw last year. And I was like, there you have it. And this is who y'all are. So, the one reason I agree in with both of you all, X, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head, is recruiting, right? Everybody knows college football rosters flip every year pretty drastically, right? Like, it ain't the NFL where you can keep X amount, you know what you're going to be able to do. It's going to flip pretty dramatically every year. But the lifeblood will continue to be high school recruiting, because those will be the guys that will be able to hang around a little bit, mature within your program. And then, you know, that day will come. Now, we've got a couple of guys that are committed that very well may come in and start right off the rip. You know, a guy like a Maui Goa, who has said everything right, who basically is like, I'm down with the team. You know, I'm down with, you know, the crystal balls, the mirror balls, the salivas. I'm with all that. So, all that trying to lean me this way or switch me that way because it's ugly right now, it's not going to work with a kid like him. And I think that's exactly the type of mentality that you have to have if you're going to build what he wants to build. People keep saying, you know, placing blame like on hype around Mario, right? A, it's not Mario's fault. What can he do about people saying, you know, the prodigal son has returned, and, you know, this Canes team will be, you know, win the Coastal and compete for the ACC this year. And he ain't tell y'all none of that. He said the U is back to work. He was quick to dampen all of that stuff. Like, nah, y'all don't see what I see. You know what I mean? I know what I left. I know what it looks like. I mean, look at Oregon. And they'll want to discredit that too now. You know, oh, you know. That's because, all right, bro, whatever. Like, just say you hate the man and leave it at that. But to sit there and discredit a program that he's helped build, who only had one loss and early in the season got thumped by Georgia. That's their only loss, though. But you'll give him zero credit for that. That's insane. You're just not being realistic. Doesn't make sense. So that's another reason I have hope for the future. I saw what he did to that program and how he helped uplift it and help get it pushed up to the next level. You know, you can try to snatch that away if you want to, but you're just being a hater, to be honest with you. And you should go get checked out, man. Get that hate out your blood. I think we're in a great position. I think you ain't never seen so few decommits, right? How we only got 4 wins and 2 decommits? One of them I don't even count because he was committed to the previous staff.
Yeah, you talking about Seymour.
Right. Seymour was the previous.
And Andy Jean.
Andy Jean's it. And Andy Jean was super early in the process as well. Right? So those are the only 2, bro. How can you not think the future is bright? To me, I think that's really weird. And people are like, oh, I want to see him, you know, go crazy. Go crazy for what? He know these people out of here. He know the season is done. And these people are out of here. Now, he's going to still coach to the best of his ability. But what am I? Go crazy for what? The little screenshots of him kind of grimacing and shit. He going, in his head, he going, look at this shit. Which y'all want me to coach? Don't let him run over you, son. I don't know what y'all want me to cook. Can I get some of my guys in? Can I get the key? Can I get the ingredients so I can cook my meal? Y'all done gave me Frosted Flakes, mayonnaise, some pickles, and you know, a can of Spam, and told me to make you a masterpiece. And it just ain't gonna work. It just ain't gonna work.
Ain't gonna work. You telling me I got me a special recipe, but I'm supposed to cook food with somebody else's recipe, and you think it's supposed to taste like what I cook?
It's not going to happen.
I need my own recipe.
Like, to add to that, we talk about the Middle Tennessee State game, right? After that game, Gregory Russo flat out said, let me see if I can get the exact word. He said, they're the culture embedded in the program from before. They're headed in the right direction, as crazy as it sounds. The whole fan base was told this September 28th after Middle Tennessee State. So why are you, if you mad and angry at the results or what you see now in your shock, it's on you. You had probably the best recruit in Manny's era. The guy he recruited, the 3-star, converted him, built him up. He said that. So if he's saying that, why does anybody else have a take differently? That's where I get lost with the fan base. Like, y'all just mad because y'all August takes ain't hitting. And it's like, y'all not looking at it for what it is. And it is.
You got enough talent. Who made you got a talent evaluator? Always with the we got enough talent stuff. Clearly we do not.
That's the conversation on the timeline about, look at the talent. They're looking at the star ratings and stuff like that. And I'm telling them, you know, I made a comment yesterday, and people was trying to see what I was saying. I said, well, look, just because you recruit the top talent in high school don't necessarily mean they're going to be the top talent in college. They're like, what you mean? I say, you recruit them in hopes that you could coach them up and develop them.
Right.
They got to be willing to do that on their own. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when they don't be developed or get coached up, guess what? That talent isn't good. Now all them stars mean absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, y'all got to stop saying, oh, y'all got the talent. Mario wants the talent that he can develop and coach up.
Right. You got to be bought in. You have to be disciplined. The coaches only get so much time with you in college. And you have school to worry about as well. So if you're going to be who you think you're going to be, this NFL guy, this monster that's going to go to the next level, your dedication level has to be unsurpassed, because you've got to do a lot of this on your own. A lot of this stuff that's going to make you successful at the collegiate level is going to take your discipline to get to that next step. And that's why when people speak on talent, you know, I reference this team all the time, and I think they're a great reference of culture. Is if you just go look at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is never going to bring in probably a 5-star, number one. That's a team made mostly around 3-stars. Well, why are their 3-stars so good? Because they have a culture built in. They have a good evaluation system. You know, you have the same coach that's been there for a long time. This isn't a house divided. This is a house united. Oklahoma State knows who they are. They know who they can be. They know, look, we can take Oklahoma out. We can take Baylor out. we can have a great year and go 10-2. We might even go crazy and get into a nice bowl here and there. But one thing they will do is consistently be a top 20 team with a bunch of three-star players. Well, he knows how to evaluate them. He knows how to evaluate them, and then he knows how to develop them. So while everybody is picking off, you know, these five stars, sometimes, and four-star guys, sometimes what does get missing is we'll look at the raw talent and we'll ignore the off-field issues or the lack of dedication to the game. See, these coaches know more than we do, because high school coaches are going to keep it real, right? Because they want their rep good too. So, and say, hey, what do you think about, you know, number 23? You know, oh, man, number 23 got all the God-given talent in the world. Now, if number 23 ever worked, he'll be unbeatable. But what you're seeing is him getting up, rolling over in the bed, and just being who he is. So some coach going to say, nah, I'll pass. Some going to say, all right, I'll work with him. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's just what it is. But the best of the best do a great job at evaluating. It's a cross section of talent and attitude. It's a good cross section of both of those things. And the greatest recruiters, developers understand that. They understand how you could take three-star Mark Ingram and make him a Heisman winner. Right? So, you know, because that's one thing we do too. We always act like, and they don't get me wrong, they are the most talented, but Bama don't recruit 25 stars a year, y'all, believe it or not. There's some threes on there too, but their threes develop and become stuff. And that's because these guys know what they're looking at and how to take it to that next level. So I'm with y'all. Program future's bright. I ain't worrying about nothing. Got real problems, dog.
Yeah, on that note, man, I can speak about recruiting a little bit. Recruiting weekend, man, it was great. I'm going to just speak on the future of the program. I seen Samson Okula, boy, that guy looks like he's ready. he looks big. Him, but Francis, look. And out of all of them, I think Frank the Toledo, however you pronounce his last name, I think he's the biggest one.
Frankie Tenelau.
Him and the Kinsler kid are probably the biggest ones. But I mean, but just those guys with Francis and then Samson. Oh my gosh!
Right.
Ooh, that's the old line Mario want right there.
Oh, it's clear as day. So, he wouldn't attack that the hardest. And just
looking at the recruits that the staff are going after, they don't look like the regular normal recruits that we was recruiting before. You know, these guys coming in, well, they don't have to gain 30, 40 pounds. They coming in already at, you know, six defensive end, he's 6'5", 240 already, 245. You know, offensive lineman, he's 6'5", he's already at 315.
Right.
They don't have to gain. You know, Zion came in, Zion had to gain almost 80 pounds.
Right. So and he lost 40 of it, you know what I mean, through playing. So, you know, that was tough.
I think we got three locks this weekend. I can't really put the names out there, but it's definitely players that we need.
Excite the fan base?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'm going to go ahead and say – because, you know, I don't have no insiders. So I'm going to say Oak and Lola's in the boat.
Okay.
I've been feeling good about that one for a while, though.
Okay, yeah.
That's the only one I feel like. I've just been reading the tea leaves a little bit on Cuz. I think he's a real business-minded kid. You know, he said he already got his Brandon Moop already. And he looking at this like, I can get in, I can play early, and I'll be in Miami, where I can market myself in a major way. So I think he's a lock. That's just my humble opinion. Nobody told me that. That's just how I kind of been feeling about that guy.
I'm with you with that one.
And then the other two, I don't know. X a hole that tight to the vest. You'll see it when the video drop.
It was a lot of 24 kids that saying the same thing. Like, yeah, man, I think I could come in there and be the man right away. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What's crazy? What's finna happen? Is crazy. A lot of 25 kids are going to try to reclassify to 24. I don't know what's going on. It's finna start happening around the whole country. I don't know what exactly is going on, but it's something that's letting these kids say, let me graduate early. Let me go ahead and reclassify. Boy,
running to the bag. Boy, trying to help get that money.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Let me get to the money fast.
As I possibly can.
Yeah,
because it's weird. I agree because, like, let's take our guy, Antoine, right? He's reclassifying. He go redshirt. So, yeah. I don't see the rush. I think if you'd have waited next year, then he would be possibly in a better situation, not the red shirt. So that is a little confusing to me still. I think they may be, and I don't think it's bad per se. I think they may have a little misconception about how this NIL thing works all in all. So we'll see. I think they run it toward the bag. I just don't think the bag is waiting on them just yet.
Yeah. They still got a lot to do with the transfer portal. You know, because a lot of these kids are really recognizing that, yeah, maybe this team is going to go recruit some kids out of the portal, and I might not get my spot.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of them say, man, let me go ahead and get in where I could get in, because if I wait till my class, you know, hey, man, they might stop recruiting me. Not saying that's what's happening, but you just don't know. So
right. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. So, to add to that too, I think COVID year, the way it did the school, there might be some kids who probably got staggered a year in terms of their credit, their education. So maybe they've used this time. Online schools have been more of a thing lately. I guess I'm the nerdy guy who's been teaching, but essentially some of these kids are probably in a situation where they probably should be a grade ahead, or they're just like, why go back to high school for another year where mentally I'm ready for college? Like, I could understand it. So I just think it's a lot of factors, but hey, if it helps us get more players, I'm with it.
Absolutely. How about this, X? I know you don't want to ruin no kids' moments anyways. How you feel about that? Was the only thing I thought coming out of that game that was discouraging to me in the recruiting world. I'm telling you, man, and that's another thing I love about Mario. They try to rattle my cage every week, man. What y'all gonna pick off of my? What y'all want to shop off of Miami? I'm like, you shopping in a store that's closed, son. There's nothing to be purchased here. That right there is a floor. That's the store model, and it's not for sale, man. So, but I do think we might have took a little bit of hit with some of the guys we might have want to flip. But is there a kid maybe that you think a flip still could be kind of imminent, or is that saying too much?
Well, okay, so, you know, it's the cat's out of the bag about the Brandon Ennis, the Mark Fletcher. That's that. I still kind of feel good. You know, I'm going to just say I feel good, but things could still just say where they both will go up there to Ohio State. The one kid who I thought we had a legitimate shot at if we prove that we can do something was the Cedric Baxter. He's flirting with Florida State a lot. I did hear he want to stay in the state. He want to stay in the state. And, you know, granted, Texas is doing something that's probably finna make everybody mad in a couple weeks, because they just finna recruit and they finna get everybody. So if he does stay in their Texas class, that would have been one of the kids who I kind of thought we could have had a shot at. Hakeem Williams, no, he was sticking with Florida State. Like I kept telling people, I never thought he was going to come to UM from the jump.
And we missed your guy, man, messing with him.
Who that?
Committed to Louisville.
William Fowles. Waiting on,
I like Fowles' tape. Once she was bragging on him, I was going to look at him. I was like, I like this kid. I think we fumbled the bag on that one.
Yeah, we dropped the bag on that one. That was I don't know what the staff was thinking, so playing him. I kind of do think we may have lost traction. Not saying it's true just yet with Chris Johnson. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's all the way true, but we might have. You know what I'm saying? So keep an eye out with that one. The Ricks, Desmond Ricks things is, I think that's a no-brainer. LSU got that one locked in so far.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about kid.
Mpemba, we have his last visit. But I did hear some things about him to Georgia. It was kind of a done deal. I just, you know, hey, we'll see. You give us the last visit, man. Mario to do his thing. Damian Wilson, UGA versus Ohio State. I think Ohio State going to end up getting him because Bama's going to get the other defensive end kid, the Kenny kid, something like that, the one that's in Tampa. The number one defensive end in the nation. He's going to end up going to Bama.
Oh, okay. Oh, the one that UF was hoping to get.
Yeah. So he'll end up going to Bama, and then Ohio State could take Damian Wilson. You know, stuff like that. So now we do get Nicholas Harbor a visit. I kept telling everybody if we get him on a visit, you know, I think our chances are great. And we got him on a visit soon, so we'll see how things go with that.
And where he going to play? Where do they want him at? Because I've been hearing conflicting things. I heard he wants to play tight end. He's just a freak athlete, though.
Well, he looks pretty good playing on offense. But then again, he's playing and everybody's just smaller than him. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It'll be different playing tight end or offense in college where everybody's not smaller than you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're getting hit by other grown men. Now you're saying, well, maybe I want to do the hitting. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, UM does want to play defense end.
Okay.
So
I think that's where his bread and butter at. Hey, I mean, they're super thirsty for pass rushes. They like tight ends. Don't get me wrong. Tight ends are, there's a few out there that's raising the market. Your Kittles and, you know, Kelsey's and, you know, a couple of other guys, Darren Waller. But they are super thirsty for pass rushes, bro.
Man, listen, if I'm him, that defensive end is the money. offense just got that defensive end Chubbs, and you see what he just got a contract.
Right. Right.
You ain't gonna see too many tight ends getting no $100 million deals. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna just keep it 100. So
right.
I feel we get him on that visit. Once he come, man, I think the staff could lock that in. I'm obviously still feeling good about Reuben Bain, Damari Brown. Who else? I'm trying to see who else.
And I mean, even if we get, let's say, Okunlola, Bain, Brown, and Harbor, bruh, just the baby, man. Bruh, that's 4 or 5 stars. What are we talking about? And it's very possible. This ain't just some la-la land, old dream scenario. You know, anything can happen. It's recruiting. Don't get me wrong. Not guaranteeing anything. But one thing you guys have to admit as listeners is this ain't the same because these kids would have been gone. It wouldn't have took us again down this late in the season.
And I think, like what you said earlier in the show about Mario said, we're going to work. Mario is selling. Y'all going to work. So Mario didn't sell the Coastal. Watch us win the Coastal this year. You'll see.
Mario, yeah, that was Manny. That was Manny on TV talking big. Yeah, he was. Right. Manny was out there talking big shit.
So Mario is selling the work. This is the staff. Hey, maybe Mario be 100 with him. Hey, you know, we got a little personnel that don't match, but you match. And this is the proven staff and resume we got. And you can do it here right now. And because that has to be it. Because otherwise, yeah, like you said, it would be shopping on the list. But the games being played was never on our recruiting pitch. So really,
you damn sure hope not.
I get it, big. They
or like I said, a good salesman sells, right? So if you're looking at me playing and I'm the coach, you see this shit? I told you, just watch us play. I need your help, son. You know what I mean? If you can sell, you can sell, dog. I've been there. I've sold. I know how it is. I done sold all kind of stuff on both sides of the law. You can sell, man. And that's what it boils down to. And I think we've got the ultimate sales.
Yeah, Mario's ability to build relationships with parents and players is just is top notch. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's too many coaches in college sports that can do what he does. It's some who do it, but the way Mario do it, man, a lot of these parents say, when they meet with Mario, it becomes personal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you got to factor in the logos that a lot of these schools are doing, these guys are doing it for. When it comes to national branding, Miami's bigger than a lot of these schools just because they were bigger in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, early 2000s. So they were a TV, TV program. Most of the alumni don't live in the area once they graduate. So they're spread out. It's not as condensed. But if you're just talking college football world, well, yeah, Georgia's a bigger letter right now. That G looks a lot bigger than that U right now. So, Ace Recruiter. And it's not taking personal shots at a dive, but they told me this man was an ace. You know, what was he, number two recruiter in the nation last year, according to 247? And he lost the big fights. And that was before the games got played. You know, he was supposed to be like the head recruiter, the safety that ended up committing to Georgia.
Once
they gone, they ain't no matter me no more. Unless I think we got a real shot of circling them back. So that's the other thing you have to give him credit for is what he did at Oregon was still impressive. It's Oregon, man. Y'all think that shit easy. No, it's not. Yeah, it's just cute uniforms, bro. I promise you. Who wants to go to Oregon? Middle of nowhere. It's cold and wet. It's what is the selling point for the average young man? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What is the selling point for an average young man? That's how you know this guy's good at what he does. He got Kayvon Thibodeau.
And Flo.
Come on now. Got Flo. Come on now. Yeah. We wanted Flo. Flo headed to the league. We wouldn't be talking about linebacker play, I bet you that much, if he was there.
Well, just look at it like this. The linebacker room, you got – I'm gonna say three. I'm not gonna count the new guy who just committed. I'm gonna just say the three that we got that's officially a linebacker. That room will be flipped immediately next year. Next year is flipped immediately.
Are we still shooting at Clark? Going after Clark?
Yeah. We still shoot. Clark was there. I feel good about Clark. I think it all boils down to him because he wants to play. He wants to get in and play right away. Granted, we got some other studs there. It's just going to be, do he want to go in there and compete? You know what I'm saying? Because we got some studs coming in at linebacker. And if he wants to compete, he'll get on board. If he don't, he'll stick it out with Louisville, which is okay. You know what I'm saying? Hey, go where you're going to play, man. But I just think, I still feel good. You know, we have a chance to flip him too, so.
Speaking of linebackers, real quick before we get up out of here, Chase Smith was injured again, correct?
Yeah, he got injured, man. It was a freak accident in practice. People be like, oh man, the strength and conditioning. It was a freak. You know, some of those players getting hurt was just,
It happens. It's a rough game.
It happens in football. You know what I'm saying? So.
But I do got my eye on the mustache, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping one eye on that guy. Like, hey, feel like we getting a little too banged up. You know, practice is practice, and if we want to practice harder, I get that. But then that's also in your wheelhouse of making sure the recovery is there and the strengthening is there, right? So, like, we're building stronger, muscles around our ankles and knees, all our joints, all that stuff is going to be secured better. We're doing things that are going to be football moves. And so, I ain't putting you out just yet, but You know, yeah, I'm keeping one eye on you, man.
I mean, as you should. You should keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on everybody who's
right. Well,
you
know what I'm saying? They getting paid good money, man.
They getting paid good money. So something got to give. It's either you're going to perform or you're not going to perform. Which one? You know what I'm saying?
That's how it is in our jobs, right? If you're an entrepreneur. Yeah, if you're not working for yourself as an entrepreneur, guess what? This shit going to fail. So,
yeah,
you know, hey, it is what it is on that.
Recruiting is definitely going good, man. Don't worry about that. People talk about, oh, man, players going to flip. Got to get them to sign it. I say, well, look, these kids, for some obvious reason, saying we are locked in. And it's you can believe them or you don't believe them. I believe them. They say they locked in.
I believe them.
These kids really want to get in here, man, and make things happen for you. So,
you know, that's the thing. And I'll close on this. And it's not taking shots. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm shooting that. But it's a little difference. And one reason these kids, I'm more confident in them sticking as well, is it ain't a whole bunch of South Florida kids. And that's no shot at the South Florida kids. Love y'all. Make up some of the best players in the world, right, at this game. But I know most South Florida kids is a little bit more show me. So will Mario start locking down South Florida? Absolutely. Not locking it down, but doing his fair work. Y'all know what I mean. Not saying nobody going to escape because I can see, oh, I thought he was locking it down. They can't all go there. You know what I mean? Somebody going to get out. But
yeah.
In order to start getting those kids like he wants to on a consistent basis, and I believe he will, he's going to have to show them a little something first. That's, you look at the class difference. Look where we're going at. Okanlola, where he at? Maryland, D.C., I think.
Yes, I'm in that.
Maui Gold, California, Hawaii, I mean. We're more national right now, right? Because those kids don't have the same necessary mentality as the South Florida kids do right now, and that's not always been the case. Because UM was built on South Florida kids that was saying, we could do this. We'll do it. We ain't going nowhere. We'll do it right here, coach. Somewhere, you know, through generations, it's changed. That's fine. Now we change. We adjust. New day and age is, all right, we really want to get them kids, we got to get this program winning. And then we can circle back and start saying, all right, now where you going, young man? We winning, and all you're going to do is take it to the top and let us get that ring. And they'll buy in more. That's my wholehearted belief when it comes to, because I know that's, you know, that's the people are waiting on the flips. Look at the commitment list, and then you'll understand why the flips are a little less likely. Even Emory Williams, everybody, we got two quarterbacks. Emory Williams plays at a losing program. So he ain't afraid to come in and compete and want to build something. He's a good quarterback. He's got other options.
He definitely got options. They call it.
They call it every day.
Emory watched Saturday, shoot, he probably think he could come in and start. Why,
that's what I'm saying. Him and Rashada could duke it out. It's the transfer portal era, so who really cares? Like, if you want to try to go at Miami, try to duke it out, and you don't feel like you're going to either get a fair shake or you may never be able to surpass that guy who's a little too close to you in class or something, shake the spot. It's not hard these days. You just say, all right, I'm up out of here. Cool, man, no hard feelings, coach. But, I'm going to try my chances over here. So, anyways, man, we'll wrap up, man. Great show. Appreciate y'all boys pulling up. Thank you for helping me get this recording done since, you know, my first one went to trash. And this, I'm be honest with you, I never recorded by myself like this. This is way better. I assure you that this has to be a better version, man. But that's it, man. Y'all got any shout-outs, anything y'all want to get off before we get out of here?
Oh, man, I want to give a shout-out to everybody who came down for the weekend. We had the little event on Friday night. It was a good turnout. Great show. Man, I can't even speak about the tailgate. That thing was wild. It was crazy. Man, I don't know how many people, but I think I felt the whole parking lot had to eat our food, man, because we had so much food. Everybody just started walking up, and it was literally like a line, like standing in line, like for voting. I'm like, man, I ain't know who was coming. But they came out, man.
That's what's up,
great
man.
Tailgate, man. Great environment. You know, one thing I be trying to tell FSU fans is, like, I don't hate y'all, man. I'm down with most of y'all, like, literally. I got family who's FSU fans. You know, it's the Gators who I really don't care about. You know what I'm saying? But nah, you know, every time Florida, FSU, and UM link up, man, it's a great atmosphere, man.
No doubt. You know, I'm gonna try to make the Pitt game. I'm trying to pull up for the pit game. I shouldn't have no other obligations. I'm still in the flux of moving and all. I'm still in the hotel right now. Actually, as soon as we get done recording this, I got to record again, and then I'm heading down home because we got a hurricane headed this way, or a possible hurricane headed this way. So I'm going to be taking off and going to Savannah. But I got me a place locked down for December 7th. Everything should kind of be settled in pretty good by then. Even before then, I definitely want to pull up for the last game of the season, man, and just hang out. And, you know, it don't matter how that game go to me at that point. So, but yeah, shout out to the voters, man. If you voted, shout out to you, man. If you didn't vote, shout out to you too. That's the beauty of America. You can exercise your right not to vote if you don't feel like it. Guess what? I ain't vote. And I didn't die. These people lied to us. Herschel Walker is on the ballot, man. I ain't got time for
shit. Hey, man, I'm up here, man. Like,
not all. Yeah, right?
It is like, it might be a runoff, man. But given the way Kent B. Abrams, I don't think he's going to win. But it's interesting. Yeah, we played Georgia Tech. Hey, my wife went to New Orleans, man. She's been holding it down at the house. Y'all know I've been with the kids. So she left this weekend. So me going to Georgia Tech game is gonna be tough. So you know, because if I tell her I got a sitter, she's gonna, that ain't gonna work out well. So I gotta be home. You know? So if I might not see y'all, man, you know, I'll do better next year with the Georgia Tech game.
Yeah, man. Well, you got the little ones, man. I know how it is. Oh yeah, we totally didn't preview Georgia Tech. Let me do that real fast. They suck, we suck. It's they house. Miami by 3. That's it. It ain't really much to get into. I'm not looking up their shitty roster. We all know our roster. They don't have a quarterback.
The game's at 3:30, not noon, but it
we
is
should
on
win
one of them channels.
We it's should win
3:30 on one of them channels. So whatever they channels ain't got no y'all watch.
Bally Sports.
Yeah, it'll be on Bally Sports. Bally Sports at 3:30.
And if you got something else to do, 3. Go do it. Find 9-3. I like
nine
it.
Find us going 9-3. We got us to go 3-3.
ACC player of the week again.
ACC player of the week again.
Yeah. I'm going to give him 4. He going to get 12. He going to nail 12, one for 53, too.
Well, I like that. They 12-3 then.
Yeah. Big blowout fashion, man. Tell them people, we in this our house now. All right, fellas. I got to go take a phone call, man. Y'all be good.
The band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.